Good morning, everyone. Let's start with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord. Lord, I will welcome your Holy Spirit to be here, Lord. I pray that whatever that I say, Lord, I'll pray that it'll be anointed by you, Lord. Anything that is not of you, Lord, will not come out of my mouth, Father God. I also pray that from my disobedience, Father God, I speak anything that is not pleasing to you, Lord. I pray that it will not register to the people that are hearing, Father God, Lord Jesus. We love you in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So good morning. I'll continue to go through the letters in the seven churches in the book of Revelation. So far we have looked at four of the seven churches. The church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and Thyatira. And as I've shared, that these letters have four levels of application. The first one is local. These letters were written to actual historic churches which had valid needs of that day. Second, it's written to a warning to all the churches throughout history. In each of these letters appears a key phrase: hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Note the plural, it's churches. So this letter is also, each individual letter is also written to all the churches. Third, this can be applied to us personally. In each of these letters, there's also a phrase that says, he who has an ear, let him hear. How many of us have an ear? All of us have one ear. So this letter is also can be applied to all of us. And the fourth is the prophetic. These seven letters have an apparent prophetic application. The order of these letters and the conditions that these churches were in describes the whole church age, starting from apostolic stage until today and in the future. So as we go into the fifth letter today, which is the church of Sardis, I would like to use the personal application as usual, because if we go through all the four applications, we'll be sitting here till lunch. So let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 3, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to 6. Revelation 3, verse 1 to 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come to you. But you have a few in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So a bit of history about Sardis. Sardis was the capital of the ancient Lydian Empire. It had a great strategic location. It is located between Smyrna, Ephesus, Philadelphia, some of the churches we had gone through previously. So it gave it a favorable location, and very soon it became a commercial and a very wealthy city. It is a city where archaeologists claim that have to come up with the first gold coins of the world. It was also considered impregnable because of its unique physical arrangement and topography. For defense, the city sat on a hill with cliffs on three sides, and there's only one entry point for the city to enter. So it was very easy to defend. So it's kind of like those who have been to Israel, it's like Masada. Even it was considered impregnable, it was still captured twice. First time in 549 BC by Cyrus, and the second time was in 214 BC by Antiochus. Both times they were entered and capture the city through the cliffs. They think the city was so safe, they didn't put too many guards on those three cliffs. Their focus was only on one side. So during one of the siege, Cyrus had a decree and it rewarded anyone who can find a way to enter the city through the cliffs. And on one of the nights, one of the men noticed the Lydian Empire drop his helmet down the cliffs. And he saw, in a moment in time, he saw the soldier down at the cliff, picking up the helmet and disappeared in the night. So the man was curious. He went in and go and find what is happening. How did he was able to come down from the cliffs and go back up? So he was able to find cracks and pathways that could lead up to the city. And so that's how Sardis was captured by Cyrus. And it was at the night. You would think that they would have learned their lesson the first time and will start putting more defense on those three cliffs, but not. Second time, those cliffs were again exploited and were captured by Antiochus. It seems like that in this letter, Jesus was also making a link of this history with the church when he said that I'll come like a thief and you will be not knowing when they were sleeping. Typical of these letters, Jesus started off by describing himself from a self-description in chapter 1. Here he describes himself as the one who has the seven spirits of God. Most commentaries believe that this is another way to describe the fullness of the Holy Spirit in all of his glory and power. Also, the number 7 describes is a number of completion. And here it's very likely to allude the nature of the Holy Spirit, which was mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 to 5. So what are those sevenfold natures of the Holy Spirit spoken in Isaiah? It is Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of power, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of fear of the Lord. As Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah, Jesus definitely had all these seven natures of the Holy Spirit in him. And Jesus was describing to the church that he has the fullness and all the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Something which alludes to the main reason for this church's current condition, meaning they didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit as a church. Then Jesus told them in verse 1 that I know your works. Unlike other churches previously, Jesus didn't elaborate any good works done by Sardis. And this is frightening. Imagine a church that Jesus has no good works to say about. In the previous 4 churches, there was something, at least some good points that were spoken about those churches. For Ephesus, it was spoken that they are being dynamic, dedicated, determined, disciplined, and discerning. Smyrna was commended for going through persecution, but not giving up on their faith. Pergamos was commended for being faithful in spite of surrounded by pagans and rituals. Thyatira were commended for being loving, faithful, and had servant heart and a church that perseveres. But for Sardis, 0, nothing. Only 2 churches out of these 7 had nothing good to be spoken about by Jesus, Sardis and Laodicea, which we'll speak about some other day. And then as Jesus continued, they said they have a name, that they are alive, but they are dead. A name carries weight. A name carries with it both its reputation and character of that person. A name is what other people commonly think and say about you. In this case, Sardis. Sardis was a church known to be having a very good reputation. A name that they are active and alive. It was a church that people wanted to be a part of. A church that was doing things. But that was all in the eyes of man. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of Jesus, the church was dead. I think it would be a rude awakening for all those leaders at church when they received this letter. So you're saying, Jesus, that this church that is full of people doing everything is dead in your eyes? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Who do we want to be alive in the eyes of? In the eyes of man or in the eyes of God? In Scripture, death stands for the concept of separation as well as the absence of life. For an unbeliever, death means a forever separation with God and no relationship with God. But for a believer, death is like a sleep. It's something you used as a symbol of carnality, for being out of fellowship with God. Obviously, this was not how the church started. All the churches in this letter actually started around the same time. So they were all churches during the apostolic age of the church. But sadly, somehow Sardis went downhill way quicker than other churches. Sardis actually had a lot of common to Ephesus, the first letter. Jesus told the church of Ephesus to go back to their first love. Jesus here is asking the church of Sardis to go back to how they first started. It can also serve to us as a reminder that what will happen if we start forgetting our first love, allowing our jobs, relationships, wealth, ambition to take over where Jesus is supposed to be. Eventually, we all are in the danger of becoming like Sardis and start dying. But there's still some positive out of this church. There's a positive that I can see that not everyone was dead. There were some remnant that were holding fast and not gone in the direction of the church. With this remnant, there was still hope in the church. Jesus reminded them that they have to strengthen themselves. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the head of every church? He didn't wait until the church was completely dead or to the point of no return, but he wrote this letter to strengthen the one that remained. Even if there's only one left in the church body who is following Jesus, there's hope for that church. And that church can be revived again. Jesus will never give up on his church, on his bride. To the church of Sardis, it was a very obvious and loving and stern warning that you are at the last stage of being a living body. We actually don't exactly know why the church ended up like that, but for sure there must be some warning signs. So I went online and found some of the warning signs that a church could show when it's on a stage of dying, which I think can also be applied to us personally as well. So first, a church is in danger of death when it begins to worship its own past history, its own past, its reputation or name, living in the past glory of good works or done by the church. As individuals, we can think about ourselves as when we talk about how good God was in the past, how I used to serve God in the past, how I used to hear God in the past. That is actually a warning sign if we are talking about that. Second is when it's concerned more with numbers, attendance, than spiritual quality of life and producing in its people. So when looks became more important than the purpose of the church. There's nothing wrong with being concerned with numbers. Numbers in a church are important because behind each number, there's a name. Behind each name, there's a soul that needs to be saved. One empty chair in the church means there's one less soul that is supposed to be worshiping Jesus corporately isn't here. The issue comes when we only focus on numbers. When the goal is of having more and more numbers instead of producing life and growth among the people. The church should grow in numbers with disciples and not with consumers. And as individuals, I think this is something we can like relate to ourselves is when we start, like for an example, like when my Bible study plan is just to like increase in numbers. Today I have to read one chapter a day. Next week I'll read two chapters a day. My KPI by this end of year is 10 chapters a day. But there's no growth. There's no relationship with Jesus. That is also a warning sign for us that we are on the stage of during dying. Third is when it's more involved with internal management than with external ministries or with physical over spiritual. So when the church started to focus on growing taller rather than wider, meaning A church is only focused on internal ministries, adding more and more internally, and not outward focused to serve the community or reach out to the lost. It is a big, big warning sign for me, if you think about it, if a church only focused internally and loses its ability to touch the people outside of the church parameters. So, after all this negative stuff, so what is the remedy? How can a church or us individually avoid ourselves to be like Sardis and start the process of being declining or dying? So what is the remedy against this? Answer I was able to find in Luke 5, verse 37 to 38. So here Jesus is saying that, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in fresh wineskins." Here, Jesus is saying something that is very, very applicable to us. We are not to put any new wine in old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the old wineskin. So what is Jesus saying here? As time goes by, the old wineskins will become hardened and crusty. So when you put new wine into these wineskins, they'll burst. Because the new wine is actually a living wine. It's still fermenting. It's still producing gas. So due to the lack of elasticity of these wineskins, they cannot handle the new living wine and will cause it to burst. So the remedy lies in verse 38. So, in the first Greek word that is used for new is neos, N-E-O-S. Okay. Which means neos, N-E-O-S. And the second, which means kainos in Greek. Kainos means renewed. So what Jesus is saying, I'll read it again, but new wine must be put into renewed wineskins. How is that achieved? In those days, there are two ways to put new wine into wineskin. The first is you buy a fresh, brand new wineskin and put those living wine into that wineskin. The second was to kainos them. Kainos them means to soak them into water and soak them for a while until they regain elasticity and then put the new wine into that wineskin. So the key is for us to be renewed. How? By soaking ourselves into water. It's not like taking a bath every day, well, we should, but like not soaking ourselves into water for like 8 times. But water represents the Word of God. But not just scriptures. Water is also a type of the Holy Spirit. So the remedy is read the Word of God, guided by the Holy Spirit. Feel like distance from God. Feel like you can't hear Him. Feel like things are different today than it used to be 5, 10 years ago. Start reading the Bible together with the Holy Spirit. Don't just read the Bible, read it together with the Holy Spirit. One important thing is that you cannot ask anyone else to do that. No pastor can renew you. No house church leader can renew you. No ministry leader can renew you. Only you can renew you. So can I invite Thaddeus up? So Sardis had a great reputation. Yet reputation is always a reflection of the past. They felt like because of their past glories, things they have done in the past, they are in a good place with God today, which they were not. Jesus asked the church to wake up, come back to what they were. He is also asking us to wake up and renew our faith, our relationship with Him. Life in Christ is an ever-flowing and dynamic life. It is called the river of life. Rivers don't stop flowing. When river stops flowing, they start to stink. So let's not count on our past sacrifices, that what we have done for Christ, or things that we used to do in Christ. It is what our relationship with Him is today that counts. It's what we are doing for Him today that counts. One thing that I always enjoy serving about in Alpha is like season in, season out, I'll see new wineskin faith looks like. I'll see new believers on fire for God, hungry for the Word, hungry to worship, and the seeking the relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that always helps me and remind me of how I should avoid myself becoming an old wineskin, hard and crusty. Let's be honest, especially for us, those who have been serving God for a while, our hearts can become calloused and hardened sometimes. And it's time for us to renew our faith, renew our relationship with Christ, kainos our walk with Christ. As PSAM said, this is the summer of surrender. So let's surrender our old wineskin and ask God to renew us. And as I was preparing this, I had this strong word that somehow God wants to speak to us about our relationships, about our relationships with our family members, relationship with our as husband and wife, siblings, friends. Is there any relationship that is on its way to die? Ask God to reveal how we can renew and kainos those relationships again. So let's spend some time in reflection and praying to God.
Hello? Okay. Here I am.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing majesty, majesty. majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, here I am, humbled by the love that you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I yes, and knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire. Now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, we're singing majesty, majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Before we go into the focus, the prayer focus of today, I just feel like that we should spend some time lift up all the churches, and especially SP, that we will not become like Sardis. The reason Jesus wrote these letters is that he loves his church. He loves them so much that he will die for them. And they'll love them so much that he'll write a love letter. These are all love letters to each individual churches and to all of us to remind us not to follow what these churches have gone through. So let's spend some time for SP, that our congregation will not become like Sardis. We will not be dead. We are not in our process of dying. We will not be walking zombies when we come into the sanctuary. We'll be alive. Alive with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn our attention to the community prayer focus. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are going through cancer, chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's lift them up at this moment of tough times, that the peace of God will be with them. Let's lift up our community members who are sick, but also are in need of knowing about Jesus. Let's pray for all of them to have divine interaction, that God will send someone to speak about Jesus to each and every one of them. Let's pray for our community members who have infirmities. Let's pray for a community who are looking for jobs. I also pray that during this time, that they'll be able to spend more quality time with God as well. Let's turn our attention to the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, for open doors for ministry, and all the mission opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's lift up all the SP weekend gatherings as a church, a single life workshop. My understanding is that they are having a retreat today. So pray for breakthrough for all the people that are at the retreat, that all of their relationships will have a breakthrough after the retreat. Prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, all the Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN, and SBIL services and activities and all the meetings that are happening tomorrow. Let's lift up Hong Kong. I'll lift up all the government officials and everyone that is living in this city. Each and everyone will be able to experience the peace of God. And also lift up for all the people that are in, that are taking care of Hong Kong, that are in all these organizations or in these government firms, that the wisdom of God will reign upon them. The Holy Spirit will come and on them, and that they'll be able to rule righteously this city that we're living in. Let's lift up the Indonesia mission trip to Palu. They're going from July 11th to 15th. Lift up that they'll be able to, even the number is small, that they'll make a great impact and bring healing, reconciliation, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally to the people in Palu. And as we, and as I was just now like praying, I just felt like God wants to bring life in this sanctuary. No more deadness to be in this sanctuary. Even though at this moment numbers are small, a few of us are here, I just want us to let us stand up and start worshiping God again. His majesty, that He is the one true God. His majesty is so great. It doesn't deserve us to be dead. We have to be alive. So let's spend a bit of time, not too long, to worship again.
Okay, let's sing.
Here I am, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I found the greatest love of all is mine, since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am.
empty-handed but alive in your hands. We're singing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty,
Father, I want to thank you for your majesty. Thank you for that by your love we can come back and we can be alive again. Thank you that you always give us second chances. Not just second, you give us third, fourth, fifth, unlimited amount of chances to come back to you. Lord, I pray that you'll lift up every one of us here or who is listening, Father God, that we will be renewed again. If we feel that we are dead, we'll be renewed by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Also, lift up all the relationships that are with us, like our family members and everyone that we are in relationship with, Father God. I pray that you renew those relationships. You bring life in those relationships. And we declare that deadness will not come into this church, will not come into our bodies. Lord, we want to thank you that you are the one who does everything. All we have to do is obey. We love you, Father God, in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So let's continue to spend your quiet time.